Once more, I invite you to open, if you haven't already, your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We're going to focus in mainly on verse 21 for those of you who want to get detailed. And we'll back up a couple of verses there in just a moment. But I want to engage your minds and try to direct you from where we were singing to where we're going. And everything flows in line this morning. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. I told y'all before, the way that I usually judge the calendar is by the date on the milk. And you don't have to know what day it is, but if you look at the date on your milk, you know what's coming closely. And we've already turned the corner in November, which means it's, in 2 weeks we're going to start seeing December dates on the milk. This tells me Thanksgiving is coming at us quicker than many of us realize. And for those of you who haven't checked your calendars yet, this is one of those years where there are only 4 Sundays between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's one of those short times because Thanksgiving is later in the month of November. But it is coming at us fast, but too often it's eclipsed by the holiday shopping season. Most of the ads you're going to see on TV between now and then have nothing to do with giving God thanks. It's going to be all about getting you to separate your money from your wallet and put it into their hands. All of these things you never knew you needed, but all of a sudden now when it's paraded on the TV in front of you, you just got to have one. I don't know if you're one of those that sometimes when I'm web surfing, I see these little ads around the corner, gadgets you need, and the gadget they put on there is never in the advertisement. And I'm like, where does this little thing come from? And so then I've got to do reverse searches and try to figure out what this thing is. But there are a lot of little gadgets out there that just look like they would be really cool to have. Never knew I needed it. Till I saw it, but that's part of what is going on. We get busy. We begin making plans. You're going to try to be with family here or there. Some people do location celebrations, and they plan to meet in other places. So we get really busy, all about the planning and the preparations, but I wonder how often do we get busy about thinking what we're actually thankful for. Now, let me make a distinction here. Thanksgiving is different than celebration. I began to search. There are quite a few countries that celebrate Thanksgiving, but not necessarily in the way that it began in our country. And it's imperative that we remember in our country, long before Macy's ever existed and long before the turkeys and the butterball turkeys ever came into existence, Thanksgiving was being celebrated in our country, but there's a distinctive reason why. The first Thanksgiving was a giving of thanks to God. That is how it started. That was the purpose of it. Other countries, Canada has one, Great Britain is borrowing some of our tradition because, according to what I read, they simply like to eat and to have a chance to eat pumpkin pie. It's a good reason to adopt some of the United States' Thanksgiving traditions. There are a few other nations that actually do it because of us, and I forgot what little island it was. Maybe it'll come to me after a while. That a man, some whalers, came from the United States, and it was at Thanksgiving time, and so they introduced the tradition to those people on the island. So they basically celebrate our Thanksgiving, even though they're not even on the mainland of our country. But again, there's a difference between celebration and Thanksgiving as it was intended here in our country. And that is what I'm going to try to probe your mind to convince you of, to get you to think about as we consider from this passage this morning. We're not going to get through a lot of this passage. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16, number one, because I like to give you a good flow of thought that what Paul is teaching here in Romans chapter 1. And it also, some of these things are instrumental as we look at verse 21 when we get to that point. Let me read verses 16 through 23 to you. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, also to the Gentile. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believes. It's not of works. It's by grace. You're not saved by what you do, you're saved by what Christ has done for you." That's the gospel. That's the good news. Paul continues, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We find out, Paul tells us, that these people that he's writing to, these people that he's writing about, are without excuse. And he's going to explain why they are without excuse. Two reasons. When they knew God, they didn't give Him glory as God, and they weren't thankful. We're going to look at those two points in depth, but let me get us there first. The most dangerous concept foisted upon young minds in the 20th century was the idea of evolution, and is directly connected to what this passage is teaching us. Evolution says it has no explanation for first cause. It's always fun debating these people. Well, there was a Big Bang. Who caused the Big Bang? That's what first cause is. Where did it all start? Your watch doesn't just start on its own. You're walking along, and this is why I like kids way more than adults sometimes. At VBS, this was real easy. You're walking along the beach, you find a watch, and you don't jump back and say, evolution! You say, if there's a watch, there's a watchmaker. Walking through a parking lot, we find some cars, some automobiles, and the kids are really picking up on this quick. We don't think, look what evolution has done. We say, if there's a car, there's a car maker. If there's an automobile, there's an automobile maker. If you're sitting down at the table to eat some cookies, you don't say, and at least I wouldn't eat something that evolved, but you don't say, oh, look, evolution, cookies. No, you say, if there are cookies, there's a cookie maker. It's not a hard concept to grasp, but people who are ideologically opposed to the maker don't like that concept. And so evolution, which has many errors and flaws in it, but among those is this, they will try to tell you, we don't have any explanation for how it began, we're just telling you what has happened since it began. How animals, humans have evolved. I was reading up on this, and I didn't know this till this morning. They have taught apes to do sign language, and that I knew. But in all of the sign language they've taught apes, not a single one of them has ever asked a question. It says a lot about sentience. It says a lot about consciousness. Science used the weight of its education and advanced studies to promote itself. Those dedicated to such extensive studies cannot possibly be wrong. I've got a PhD. I've got extra hours. I've studied this. And then what happens in our own education system? It's taught as a fact, and it is not to be questioned, which ironically is opposed to what real science is all about. Real science is you question everything. If you tell me this does this, then as a scientist, I have an obligation to find out if what you told me is true. And so I can mix these two chemicals together. And if you say they're supposed to turn red and I get blue, one of two things is happening here. Either I have done wrong what you have told me to do, or you made an error in your initial experiment. But science says, let's find out. Now, there are a lot of people, they don't like being questioned. You know, spouses don't like being questioned by their spouse. Tell me I'm in the wrong place. No, absolutely nobody. Kids don't like to be questioned by their parents. And God help the kid that ever questions the parents, right? But science is all about information. We're trying to reproduce or see what information we can learn from certain things. And I love science. God loves science. God's the one that created everything and for us to study and to learn about. So he is the science maker, if you will. But it's amazing that in our education system, children were taught in public schools that evolution is a fact and you must accept it. Now that sounds generic on top. It sounds like, oh, what's the real danger in that? Because if evolution is true, then you weren't created. And if you're not created, you have no real purpose other than to survive. That's it. Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow something eats us. Well, it's true. If you die, worms eat you. Sink your boat out in the ocean, the sharks eat you. Though some of us, they may spit back out. That's probably conceivable. But something's going to eat us. That's the nature of things. And if evolution is true, you've got to go back to where you came from. Which, ironically, is what God says. From dust you were created, and to dust you will return. Before evolution was ever discovered, God had already stated the known truth. To oppose science is to oppose genuine thinking and truth, so-called. I don't encourage you to down science. I encourage you to practice science in the way that it was meant to be, to study and get to know what God has given to us in his creation. But here's what happens. The idea of a creator God is dismissed due to higher education. Just outright dismissed. And if God is dismissed, then a chain of reactions begins, and the chain is found in this passage here in Romans 1 and illustrates and explains how we've ended up where we are today as a world, as a country, and as a church. It explains everything. You can break into our country illegally. You can kill some people and you'll get stuck in a hotel maybe. You get stuck in a jail cell maybe. You might or might not get deported. But then again, you might be given a card with $2,500 on it and a job. But by golly, if you take a squirrel that was going to die in the wild and you raise him, the state's going to break in, destroy your house, take your squirrel and kill it. Some of y'all have been reading the internet too. I see you grinning at me. Little peanut didn't survive. How do we end up where an animal being euthanized makes greater headlines than a young girl being raped, stolen from her family, or murdered? How do we end up in a nation where a squirrel gets more news than a baby being ripped apart while it's alive in its mother's womb? It happens because God has been dismissed. And verses 19 and 20 give us a testament to God. And what it says is this, that creation in all its glory, the sun, the moon, the stars, the flowers, the cycles that everything goes through. I don't know about you, but I remember the first time I had ever experienced a Hurricane Reid in 2005, all the leaves were blown off the tree, and then they bloomed again. Not just put out new leaves, but they put out new flower buds. And I'm like, this is awesome. We need a hurricane to come every fall, right? Knock all the flowers off and give us new flowers. Y'all, some of y'all ain't going to join me there, right? But I thought it was absolutely fascinating. So I learned you go out to your bushes in your yard, your trees or whatever you're trying to cultivate, strip some of them bare, and by golly, they'll put right back out the way they've been designed to do. Human beings don't do that, though. Peel us and strip us down, we're going to die. We don't blossom again. We don't bloom again. There's something unique about creation. It has a caretaker. Things that occur naturally. And people don't stop and consider that. And I was just fascinated by the fact that some things that only bloom in the spring, after Hurricane Rita came through, bloomed again in the fall. How awesome is God? But if there is a God, and all of the creation stands as a testimony to Him, then that which is primarily offered by science stands in opposition to who God is. Science rejects what it actually sees, that there's absolutely no possible way we could have ended up the distance from the sun, the moon's distance to us, no possible accidental way to enjoy the life on this planet that we have. The odds are inconceivable. You can't do enough math to make it make sense. Now, some of that probably bores some of you to tears, right? You're like, oh, if he starts talking about math in that kind of detail, I'm done. But scientists who do this look at the mathematical odds and say the possibility of things just happening to have fallen into place can't be achieved. There's no accident. You were here on purpose. But when we reject God, according to this passage here, we see a chain reaction that happens. If you see God, or if you see God's creation and recognize and realize this didn't happen on its own, but then reject Him, what takes place? Verse 21, I told you we would get there. This is what takes place. Because that when they knew God, most people don't realize Charles Darwin was the son of a preacher. Come from clergy line. Because that when they knew God, there's two things. They didn't glorify Him as God, and they didn't exercise thankfulness. Because of this, God says they are without excuse. They recognize the invisible things. They see what is happening, yet they choose to glorify man rather than God. They exalt the thinking of man rather than the Word of God. Even pastors yield to this. Because of science, they reject the fact that Genesis 1 through 11 is real, is literal, happened as God says it. Because if science is right, it took millions of years, if not a couple of billion, and God says He did it in how many days? 6. And even more fascinating, there's light before the sun exists. Well, you can't have light without a light source, right? So no sun, no light. Well, there is light. God said there was. One of the most fascinating things about the night sky that I like is if you're in a good dark zone, the night sky actually does give light. And I'm not talking about the moon. The stars actually give enough to where you can see if you're patient and let your eyes adjust. But most people don't want to go spend that much time outside anymore, right? Especially Southwest Louisiana, the skeeters are going to get you. How many of y'all besides me decided to try to find that comet last month when it was supposed to be visible? How many of y'all saw the comet besides me? Mr. John Wayne's not sure if he saw it or not. It was a little difficult to see because of light pollution. But also, you got to wait till your eyes adjust. And it may take 10 or 15 minutes till you really begin to settle in. Give you a little secret. Take your camera out and not one of these little Polaroid point and shoots. That won't work. You need one that you can make the shutter stay open longer. Aim it to a point of the night sky. Leave it open for a second. You will be amazed at what your eyes cannot see, but your camera will catch. And sure enough, there's this comet hanging out there in the western sky. Actually, it had been behind me. After I saw it in my camera, when I took it down, then I could locate it in the sky. There it sat. And I'm supposed to believe that's an accident. That there is no rhyme, that there is no reason for these things. And part of the reason is because man wants to exalt his own thinking and man wants to exalt man. Also, I'm fascinated by another thing. I'm watching all of these new sports players talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not God generically, but the Lord Jesus in their interviews after games. I am just totally amazed at how many of them are willing to do that. But why would we be amazed? It's because we came through a time period where so few would. So few would. Science is man's explanation, and it honors man's efforts. So I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but go here with me. Consider all the branches of science and the amount of brain time and effort that goes into understanding and explaining and doing things. How many thousands of doctors there are and nurses? How many thousands of actual scientists working in labs there are daily? But the field's more incredibly vast than that, is it not? Mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, civil engineers, all doing what? Looking at how things work in our system and applying different forces, applying different techniques, how to make a bridge stand up when you don't have any good places to anchor it to. And men have been thinking about these things since the dawn of time. When you consider how much effort, how many people spend their day, how vast the field of science is. And if we're honest, what we find out is the more we dig, the more we find we don't know. When I was first raised in school, there was the atom. The smallest thing. Along comes the proton and the neutron and the electron, which they kind of knew was there, but now because of certain technological advancements, we find out there's more than that. There are these little things called quarks running around in there. But like electrons, they're hard to see because an atom is made up of mostly space. And you almost get the same picture when you walk out to a night sky and you look out there and there's stars everywhere and think of them as atoms or protons, neutrons, but between all of them there's just a whole lot of what? Space. The more you look out, the more you see. The more you look through a microscope, the more you see. When the microscope gets more powerful, you find things that you didn't see before. I encourage you, if you can ever get one that you can look on your skin, the number of bugs that are alive on your skin right now will scare you to death. So some of y'all thought, oh, I took a shower, I'm clean. Really, I think some of these things can hold their breath a long, long time. But they're there. Just because you can't see them right now doesn't mean they're not. The more you look, the more we find. And rather than causing man to bow their knee before the Creator, man takes the challenge to dismiss God and explain it in other ways. How do we know this is true? Tell me when the last time you saw the National Science Foundation honor God. Tell me when the last time you saw the American Medical Association honor God. Tell me when the last time you saw the National Electrical Association honor God. I can keep going. The sad part is it's getting to the point now where you can find religious associations and God's no longer honored. There is no overarching honor given to God. Have you, with the psalmist, ever just sat out and thinking, who am I in the midst of all of everything that is? That's what the psalmist in Psalm verse 8 does. A very famous passage comes from that. A lot of people like to quote, for what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you have visited him? But when you go back before that, you find what I've been talking about. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might instill the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, when you walk outside and actually look up and say, man, I'm nothing. You do realize if I were to die today, the only people that it would make any difference to is you. There are billions of people that wake up tomorrow and they're not even going to miss a meal or a beat because I'm one in a billion. Even in China, they wouldn't miss, just one nation alone. Southwest Louisiana. Who are we? How big must our Creator be if He has created all of these things? How awesome and how great He must be. And that's what the psalmist writes here. What is man? When I consider your creation, what is man? When you walk outside and look at the stars, if you look at the stars, do you even think about God? When you see a newborn baby, do you stop and think in amazement, look what God has done again? I mean, this little thing came out of its mama. And it comes into this world making lots of noise. It's hungry. It's thirsty. Now, it's got to be taken care of because that's the way God's designed it. But still, it's a small human being. Wow, God. This little 17-inch, 19-inch, if you got a really big baby, or it's going to grow up. Tiny start. How amazing God must be. Do we stop and consider even these things? And I'm going to contend that the reason why a lot of people today, even church people, don't anymore is because we were infected and affected more by what we were taught in public schools than we realize. God was dismissed. And so we don't gravitate towards that anymore then. When we should. Things ought to amaze us. The comet, looking out there, the fact that we can even see the thing, number one, but it's got a tail, and it's got an anti-tail, if you can really see very good detail, made up of little parts, and depending on what direction it is by the sun, determines how the tail's going to face, and there are glowing parts in there. What was he thinking when he flung comets into space? What was he thinking when he made the tadpole? Don't look anything like a frog. And yet you give it enough time and a frog comes from a tadpole. Not evolution, it's God's design. The butterfly, the caterpillar, it don't evolve. It metamorphoses into a beautiful butterfly. Even moths, you know, they're pesky little worms we don't like in our gardens. There's this great looking moth out here. He has passed away this week, but I left him there because I just think he's so fascinating to look at him. Looks like some of our fighter jets. And when you look at the coloring on his wing, if he's laid up against a tree, you couldn't see that thing if your life depended on it. All of these things, not just those, but all of these things. Because God has been rejected, this chain of events in Romans chapter 1 makes sense. That is why the things that happen, happen. You reject God, you reject thanksgiving, and you end up honoring something that is less than God. By the way, who does an atheist thank on Thanksgiving? It's an honest question. It's got to be a man or something that man has exalted in the place of God. And if you look down in verse 22 and 23, you'll see what they do. They make images of fish. They make images of birds. They make images of bulls. You can read throughout the Bible some of the monstrosities that man create. And the reason why they do this is to medicate their conscience. Because they don't want to acknowledge God. By the way, Romans was written to everybody in Rome, but Romans was written to to a group of believers, because in chapter 1, verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul is writing to Christians here that we need to have our thoughts right when it comes to this. It explains the world, but it also explains the downfall in the church. It explains why we see people running amok, why they think that praying to idols and statues is okay. It's not, because it's not God. We have made God into images of our likenesses. All of these things that man creates sees corruption. Now, as fascinating as the pyramids are, they're falling apart. Fascinating as the Sphinx is. I mean, who sat there and designed the Sphinx? What you going to do today, honey? I don't know. I'm going to build some winged creature that will fuzzle me in all the way through time as they try to figure out how we did it. I mean, but they're all coming to an end. The things that we create come to an end. Everything about them, they're corruptible. And that's what he says in here, that in verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. God's uncorruptible. Everything man creates is corruptible. One person did not see corruption. Jesus was not left in the grave so that he would not see corruption. So the writer of Psalm 16:10, David says, "You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Why was he raised on the third day? On the fourth day, they said corruption happens. He was raised before he became corrupt. Why? He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. But have we traded the corruptible for the incorruptible? And let's be honest, how foolish it is to give thanks to corruptible things. Hey, dog statue, cat statue, how foolish it would be to thank that thing for something. Fish statue, any statue. Thank you for watching over me today. Some people have their little talisman, their good luck charms in their pocket. They get shot and the bullet stops it, and they're like, "Oh, look, it saved me." Didn't do so well itself, though, did it? What kind of God is it that can't even protect himself? Mm-hmm. And the Lord says, through Paul, in verse 21, two things. That when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but neither were they thankful. A lack of thankfulness demonstrates a flaw in our thinking. We've dismissed God. Wasn't planned. It's the way our society leads everything. Everything about the holidays, everything about November is getting you to December. The ads have already popped up. Everything is about celebrating Christmas, what you've got to buy, where you've got to go, what you've got to eat. So we fly past Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving originated with thanks being given to God. A particular God, not a random, not a generic, a specific God. The God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They don't glorify him as God, neither are they thankful. We honor something or someone who is not God. I wonder if sometimes we give even our parents, mothers on Mother's Day and fathers on Father's Day, more honor than we give God the rest of the year. We'll honor the baby Jesus, but the crucified and resurrected, that causes problems for some. So let me turn it around as we consider this and look at two ways to avoid this error. If they don't glorify God, and that's what leads to the corruption, then something you need to begin doing is glorifying God. Something as simple as when someone pats you on the back and says, I am so thankful for you, that you turn around and give the thanks to God. That's difficult to remember. That's difficult to want to do, because what do all of us like? We all like to be told we're doing good. We all like to be told that we've made a difference. We like to be told that our creations are awesome. Am I wrong? But if we have a talent, if we have an ability, from where did it come? According to Romans chapter 1, all that we see and all that we are and have has come from above, has come from heaven. So a specific question to you, do you right now honor God in your life, or do you wait for Thanksgiving Day? How do I do this? Number one, you're going to honor God by receiving Jesus Christ. If you love God, you're going to love the one He sent. But how do I honor God through Jesus Christ? To whom do you sing your songs? To the radio? Are there songs you sing that you would not dare sing in church? Tell you, I can throw them out to you just as quick. I was there at one time. I know all the lyrics to I've Got Friends in Low Places, where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. The person wrote that needs Jesus. You get Jesus and He get a hold of your heart, you don't wake up with a hangover tomorrow. Your money's still in your billfold. You're not wondering what you did. You're not ending up on Facebook or YouTube because somebody took a video of you acting like a fool. Who do you sing your songs to? Who do you write about? I'm sure you wrote about the greatest, latest sale you found on Facebook. Maybe even wrote something about Peanut the Squirrel. Do you write about Jesus? Do you write about Jesus as much as you talk about politics? Do you speak and honor Jesus as much as you speak and talk about politics? Glorify God. Is there anything wrong with letting the world know that we know our Creator and He's God? He is God. There's none like Him. He's out of this world. And the fact that He would step down into society, that He would step down into this place and save us from our sins, all the more reason that He should be glorified. Second one's just as simple. Take nothing for granted. Be thankful. I don't know about you, I'm thankful Daryl went through all of his cancer treatments and he's still sitting here with us today. I mean, the good. Get a turbo cancer. You go from being good and all of a sudden, your world's falling in, and look at him. I'm going to pick on you because you're old, but I think I know who would win the oldest person in our church right now. And he goes through surgery when he's up from upwards of 90 and he's still sitting with us. If that's not the goodness of God, I don't know what it is. I mean, look, we could talk about that even here. When we stop and consider all that God has given to us. 4 years ago, wouldn't it look like this in the sanctuary? In fact, you wouldn't want to have sat in the sanctuary this morning. It was beat up really bad after Hurricane Laura. She did a number on this building. Y'all would be fanning. You'd be sweating. You'd be better. Look, why are we even sitting in this place? We get outside where the air is. And that only helps so much. Look what we have back. How God has been good to us. Take nothing for granted. If you've got somebody sitting next to you, you got a friend, take nothing for granted. Got a church with people in it, take nothing for granted. Of all the people y'all chose to listen to today, you tuned in to me. Give thanks to God. Remember Him. And it begins in your heart. Now this is part of the irony of this. Here I'm trying to coach you and encourage you and stir you up. But really what happens when you begin to look within, and you begin to look without what God has done, I shouldn't have to stir you up. There ought to be part of you being like, man, if it wasn't for God X, if it wasn't for God Y, if it wasn't for God Z, thank you, God. Amen. And then it's not a matter of me encouraging you to. He's trying to tell everybody, look, everybody can't stand up and give God thanksgiving on the same day at church. We're going to have to take turns one at a time. Well, I mean, consider, look how many people are in here. If everybody only took 3 hours apiece, how long we would have to wait? And I'm going to challenge you, I don't know if 3 hours is long enough to thank God. Did you miss a meal this week? I can't say I didn't. Did you not on purpose miss a meal this week? If you chose to fast or whatever, that may not have a lot in the cabinet, but I got something. You can drive down Moss Bluff now. The stores are open again. Walmart's got food on the shelves. You need toilet paper, it's there. A couple years ago, toilet paper was a red herring. You know, it was an albatross. It was something kind of rare to find. Cool AC. How many? Do we stop and think, or do we dismiss these things? Because of the way society is, we just automatically dismiss God. But the reason why we have electricity is because God made it and He gave men the wisdom to harness it. And if you don't think electricity is still dangerous, open a panel, grab a handful. Oh, by the way, what Bible passage would you like me to preach at your funeral? What comes into this church will hurt you. But God gave men the wisdom to harness it. It gives us light. It gives us cool air. It allows the microphone to work, the cameras to work. People are watching us all across the country. Well, as far as Fort Worth, anyway. Although there occasionally are a couple of people that show up from other countries. Blows my mind that they would tune in to Westside, but they do. Because God has allowed men, given men the wisdom to harness this. How many of y'all take medicine? Don't raise your hand. I know a lot of you do. And the medicine actually helps you and makes you feel better. God gave man wisdom to harness that. Because what do we know? Too much and it'll harm you. Not enough and you're like, why am I taking this? It ain't doing anything for me. Wisdom. All that we should be thankful to God for. When you sing thanks in a song, to whom are you singing thanks to? When you're writing thanks, who are you writing thanks to? It's not a small thing to tell someone, I thank God for you, rather than telling them thank you. I thank God for you. Because if it wasn't for God, why would they even be in your life?
That's right.
Do we speak our thanks? Guys, sadly, too often, if I ask for people to stand up and begin to give thanks, the women are usually the ones that don't have a problem doing it. Getting men to speak in church in front of other people can sometimes be like pulling teeth. If you don't practice it in your personal life, you ain't going to be able to do it in your public life. I can tell you that now. Whatever you do in your personal life gets rather easy in public life because it's a part of you. Jesus didn't see corruption. Why would we give our thanks to anything that does see corruption? So I'm going to challenge you for the month of November. Two things, very simple. Glorify God when you walk outside and you see a beautiful sunset. Thank you, God. Or if you walk outside and there's a big giant full moon hanging there, just to stare in awe and wonder that God has put this thing there for us. The stars and the constellations, they're the same year after year. They don't change because He doesn't change and He holds them all together. The wonder of a baby, Who's going to have the next baby? Oh, I know who's going to have the next baby, Lord willing. A little girl in all the midst of those boys. What a woof. Things are going to happen. To stare in awe and wonder that God made that little baby from two distinct cells or individuals. How awesome is our God. How awesome that He would send Jesus to die to save us from our sins. Honor God. If men pat you on the back, give the honor to God. Secondly, just be thankful. Did y'all thank God that you can walk up to your light switch and turn it on and it works now, where 4 years ago you're just waiting for it to come back on again? That you can turn on the tap and the water comes out and it's drinkable. Man, we have so much to be thankful for. And I believe all of you do have something to be thankful for. I'm encouraging you to give thanks, because to not glorify God and to not be thankful leads down a spiral. It'll take you further than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it'll cost you more than you thought you'd have to pay. Dismissing God. As you bow your heads, do you know right now that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Why would I ask the question that way? Because if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're trusting that He died on the cross for your sins, then you ought to be able to say, yes, I confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. I will go to be with Him when I die. If you can't say that, why don't you trust Him to save you from your sins? Paul writes to the Romans that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. Open your mouth. Confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believing in your heart that He is no longer dead, that God raised Him up, you will be saved. Christian, we can't go to sleep just because we're saved. It's our time and it's our turn to glorify God. It's time for us to be one of those people that constantly talks about the one that brings us the most amazement and joy.